Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Cool. Well, all right. Well, hey, again, as Mandy stated, September is a huge month for us. I wanted to say a huge thank you to all the people that jumped in yesterday. There's a group of us that met here yesterday at 11 a.m., and we actually passed out cups and flyers to the neighborhood. It was a blast, and the rain held off until later in the evening, which was perfect. So it was just a great opportunity to be a part of this community, which is what it's all about, which is what we're called to do. Again, we're called to love people to a growing relationship with Jesus, and we're called to love the people that are in our backyard. So we had an opportunity to do that. And then again, next week, I do want to state that we have our official relaunch of this building, and we're going to celebrate 2 years as being a church. So before we can do that, though, there's a couple things I want to say. This week is going to be like all hands on deck week, right? So every night this week, we'll probably have somebody here Monday through Thursday. You can check out Facebook, but we'll probably just be doing some finishing touches to kind of get this place wrapped up. If you look around, there's still some pieces that are missing as far as like trim work, some things along those lines that we'll do, just some other just final cleaning and getting things ready as far as that goes. So we'll put some stuff on Facebook, so pay attention to that, but feel free, if you have an evening free, come jump in and join us. We'll have something going on every night, Monday through Thursday this week. I will say this, Tuesday is probably chainsaw day. We are going to cut up the rest of those broken pews that are out there that have been broken down, so we're going to cut those up smaller so we can get those out of here so they're not an eyesore on the property. And so Tuesday's chainsaw day. If you have a chainsaw on Tuesday, come here, and it's going to be a blast, right? Every man's like, yeah. Cool. And then the other thing, too, that I want to say for the birthday bash is this. Do not come alone. Like, our challenge for everyone is to bring at least one person with you, right? This is a service where you will want to bring somebody with you, and the invite is easy because after service, we're going to have barbecue. There's nothing like saying an invite and somebody saying yes, as long as you have smoked barbecue to go with it, right? I mean, that's a guaranteed easy invite. So want to make sure that you bring a friend, challenge you for that. We also are going to have some competition going on. We'll have some cornhole. We're going to have inflatables for the kids. It's going to be an amazing time. So just want to make sure that you invite somebody and bring them with you. We're going to pack this place out. We actually have more chairs, so we will fill more chairs in here, and we'll get this place feeling nice and cozy, right? It'll be good. But today what we're going to do is we're going to finish up our series that we're in, which is a 2-week series, which we've entitled New. So if you have your Bibles, go with me. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. And again, this is the verse that we dug into pretty in-depth last week. We're going to continue to, as this is kind of our key verse for this series, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 17. And again, if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. That way you can have a Bible with you wherever you go. You can put it on your phone, your tablet. It's an incredible resource. You can get different versions of the Bible, so you can get the version that you understand the best. There's different reading plans. You may be going through a struggle. You may be going through something. You could actually look it up and say, man, I need this. And it could be the encouragement that you need to take you through each day. And as you remember from last week, we talked about this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians, and we talked about how it's written by a guy named Paul. And Paul, again, was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader at that time, but he had this conversion, right? He was really against all Christians, and he did everything he could to stop Christianity. But then on his way to going and stopping Christianity, he had this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he was knocked down, completely blinded by the light. Like, it was throwing him down, and it changed his perspective. It changed his sight. Like, literally, it changed his sight because he was blinded. And then the scales were coming off his eyes, he realized he had an encounter with Jesus, and it really changed him. And he began to think differently. And he talks about this here in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. It says this: "From this time on, we do not think of anyone as the world does. In the past, we thought of Christ as the world thinks, but we no longer think of him in that way. If anyone belongs to Christ, there's a new creation. The old things have gone, and everything is made new. I think this is such a powerful scripture, such a powerful passage, because what's he saying? He's saying that we no longer have to think of Christ in the same way we did before, right? We're no longer stuck in this rut. We have a new way of thinking. In other words, we no longer just have to know about Christ, but we can actually know him. It's moving from that head knowledge to a heart relationship, which makes all the difference, which what makes us belong to Christ and allows us to become new. Really, the difference between being old and being made new is about 18 inches, right? It's the distance, we'll get that out, the distance from our head to our heart. That's really the distance, and it's for many of us, I think it's the longest path anybody could ever take. But we're made new when we change the way we think, and we become a new creation. We're not just a better person, right, because we're trying harder, but we're going to be made new in Christ. We're not just turning over a new leaf, but we're experiencing new life. And this is kind of what we learned about last week, and we learned really the main point, and kind of what the big idea of this series is this, is that religious behavior may make you better, but only Christ can make you new. Religious behavior may make you better, but only Christ can make you new. I think that statement, for many of us, it's freeing, it's powerful, it's huge. But the truth is, we can struggle with that statement, right? Because for many of us, you're here today and you don't feel new. And that's kind of the question I want to tackle today. I want to question that tackle where you ask, you know what? What if I don't feel new? What if, you know, I know intellectually, you know, I'm a church-going person. I grew up in the church. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's made me new, but I just don't feel new, right? I still feel guilty for the things that I've done. I still feel like I'm not good enough, right? I still feel like I'm unworthy. I still have these thoughts that I'm battling with that are negative thoughts. Maybe somebody spoke them over me, or maybe they're just lies that I begin to believe, and I just don't feel new. Or maybe, you know, I still have bad habits, then I don't feel new because of those things that I used to do and I'm still carrying on into my life. Maybe you pray that they go away, right? You pray for it, but they just don't go away. And you don't feel new. Or maybe you have a poor self-image, right? And you're thinking, like, how could God ever love someone like me? Maybe you're holding on to your old self. Maybe there's some things from your past that you continue to pick up and not let go of. If you think about it, it's kind of like vacuuming. Now, stay with me here, if you would. But I don't know if anybody's ever done this before, but if you're vacuuming, right? You're vacuuming around, and then maybe there's some pesky little fuzzball that's on the carpet, right? And you're trying to get this thing, and it just isn't coming up. So you keep vacuuming, and what do? You change the angle of it, right? So you go from a different angle, do that. You might even kick it, try to get it. And then finally, what do? You finally break down, and you bend over, and you'll pick it up. And then you look at it, and then if you're like me, you'll throw it back down and try to vacuum it again, right? I don't know if anybody else does that, but I think it's... So many times I think we do that, and we do that with our own lives, though, I think. I think there's a lot of times where there's things in our life that have been picked up, but what do? We throw them back down, and we try to vacuum them up. And because we throw them back down, we don't feel new. It never seems to go away. I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think many of us, we probably felt that way before. And it really leaves us asking us the question, man, why don't I feel new? So today I want to address that question, and I want to give you just some quick answers of why we don't feel new. One of the main reasons, I'll give you three reasons really. Reasons are our history, our hurts, and our habits often keep us from feeling new. If you look at our history can keep us from feeling new because oftentimes we all really have a past. We've all done something in that past that's made us have some regrets, and those are things that we carry with us. We continue to carry those regrets with us regardless, and because of those regrets, we don't feel new. We think thoughts like, man, you have no clue what I did, right? You're like, yeah, Corbin, you should say I can feel new, but you have no clue what I did. But there is one person that knows what I did, right? His name's God. And how could God love me if he knew this about me? Like, how? I don't understand that concept, right? How can God love me? Because he knows everything about me. And oftentimes, that will keep us from feeling new. Our history will keep us from feeling new if we don't let go of it. The second thing is our hurts. The second thing is the pain that we've experienced. Maybe it's something that somebody did to us. Maybe it's something that we even did to ourselves. Maybe it's something, maybe a time where even maybe we felt like God let us down. And we have this pain. We have this hurt. And they lead us to feeling like we're still wounded, right? Like that we're still this feeling of betrayal, this feeling of being completely let down. And it's very hard to trust when we have these hurts. And because of that, many times we don't feel new. We think, how am I supposed to get over this? How am I supposed to get over that? And it really keeps us from feeling new. Our hurts keep us from feeling new. And then our habits. Our habits keep us from feeling new. So those things that we continue to do. We may try to break those habits, but it's those things that we continue to do. Paul said it this way in Romans 7:15. He says this. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. Maybe some of us are trapped in this kind of process where Paul's at, right? We're trapped in this feeling where we're continually struggling with something we just can't seem to shake. Maybe we've even prayed about it. Maybe we've even sought help for it. Maybe we've even put somebody in place to like help keep us accountable for it, but we're still struggling, right? It's a habit. And this habit is going to keep us from feeling new. Our history, our hurts, and our habits, they leave us feeling like we're not new. They leave us feeling old and tattered and still scarred. They leave us feeling not new. But this is what I want us to understand. Feelings are legitimate, but they are not facts. Feelings are legitimate, but they are not facts. Now, I don't want to discount your feelings. I don't want to say, you know what, you shouldn't feel that way. You shouldn't feel this way, because the truth is, yeah, you have rights to have these feelings, but you need to understand that feelings aren't necessarily true. And this is what I want us to walk away with today. If you get nothing else, get this. Being made new is more than just a feeling. Being made new is more than just a feeling. Think of sometimes in our walk with Christ, we say, you know what, I give my life to Christ, I'm coming to a great church, man, but I should really feel new, right? We have these great expectations that we're going to feel like this incredible thing is going on in our life. We have this expectation that things are going to go completely great, and then all of a sudden we're left remarkably disappointed because we don't feel like we've become new. But again, we're not driven by our feelings. They're legitimate, but they're not the facts. Being made new is more than just a feeling. The bottom line is that we are not changed by feeling different about ourselves. We are changed by our faith in God and by what God has already done for us by sending His Son to die on a cross for us. We are changed by what has already been done. And to apply this concept, really, you have one action step to do. And here it is. Today, my challenge for you is to move beyond feelings and move into facts. Move beyond feelings and move into facts. It's that simple, right? But it's also that hard. To live this out, to being new, to truly experiencing being new, we have to move beyond feelings and into facts. And the facts are all throughout the Bible. Scripture has so many facts and truths about us that we need to hold and that we need to memorize, that we need to commit to memory, that we need to state about ourselves so that we can walk in truth to override those feelings and those lies that we often fall into. We need to move beyond feeling and into facts. And today I just want to start you off with three facts that we all know about each other that we need to walk in and we need to walk away with. Number one is this. We are forgiven from our past. We are forgiven from our past. The first thing that God's word says about us being made new in Christ is that we are forgiven from our past. Ephesians 1:7 says it this way. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The truth is, maybe you don't feel forgiven, but understand it. It's more than just a feeling. The truth is, you are forgiven. It's what the Scripture says. It's what the Bible says. It's what the truth says about each and every one of us. God's Word says that if I'm in Christ, I think many of us need to hear this. If we are in Christ, if we are a follower of Jesus, then everything about us is different. Everything about us is different, whether we feel it or not. We have been forgiven. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, there's a story about this. Maybe some of you guys are familiar with this, but it's this incredible story about forgiveness. And it's the parable that Jesus told about a lost son. Many of you guys probably know it's about the parable of the prodigal son. And the story goes on where the son demands from the father a portion of his inheritance. This thing that took the father a lifetime to get, right? Took the lifetime to obtain. And this son comes to his father and said, you know what? I want everything. I want my portion of it, and I want it right now. And then his father gave it to him. And then it says that the son did what? He took the money and ran. He took the money and he lived it up, right? He took everything he had and he took all that inheritance and left, and he just went and had like the wildest party of parties, hung out with everybody, spent money on anything he could, spent money on anything you could think of, women, drugs, alcohol, all those things of that time period, right? He did it, and he spent his money, wasted it on all these things. He lived in complete excess, right? And then he discovered something that I think too many of us has discovered as well. When we live this way, something always happens. The money always runs out, and there's always the next morning. And here's this guy, this son who lived this way. He realizes, okay, the money's out, and then there's the next morning. The money's out, so guess where he ended up? He ended up in the pig pen, sleeping with the pigs, sleeping with the animals, and that's the next morning. Talk about some bad breath to wake up to in the morning. Like, I'm just going to say it probably wasn't a good thing. He wakes up literally face down in a pig pen. He realizes he's not in the same place he was. And he thinks back and he talks about his father. You know what? He says, man, my father's servants are living better than this. So what'd he do? He decides to go beg his father to come back. He decides to go beg his father for forgiveness and says, you know what? Maybe I could at least go to my father and I could be one of his servants and I would live better than what I'm doing right now. So he makes his trek back home. And this is probably one of the favorite parts of this story for me. It's because if you look at it, his father is actually like waiting for him. Now, it doesn't say exactly how long he was away, but his father was waiting for him. I'm thinking every single morning his father would wake up. He'd probably go out on the front porch and say, maybe today's the day my son's coming home, right? And he'd be looking over the field, saying, maybe he's coming home today. Maybe he's coming home today. And then one day, his son rolls there, and guess what his father does? His father takes off in a dead sprint, something that somebody of this status during that time period would never do. Took off in a dead sprint, chased after his son, and then does some incredible things for his son. Does some incredible things that just shows truly how much God loves us and how much this father loved his son. Number one is this. He put a signet ring on the son's finger. Now, this is important to know, too, because this signet ring, what this symbolizes power. When this ring goes on the son's finger, it says that, you know what, he has the authority to act on behalf of the father's estate. So here he comes back, and the father immediately gives him power back. And then the second thing he does is he gets a fatted cow, kills it, and celebrates to have a party with him. He gets the fatted cow, right? This is showing how much he had valued the son. And then the third thing, which I love, the third thing is he puts a robe around his son. And if you think about this, here's the son who earlier that day decided, you know what, I'm living with pigs. I woke up in a pig pen. I'm guessing that the son did not necessarily smell too well at this time period, right? He's probably still reeked. Not only did he wake up with the pigs, but then he made an adventure where he's coming through and he's trekking to go back to his father, so he smelled terrible. But his father puts this robe over him, which covers his filth. And the robe represents royalty. That's true forgiveness right there. And the truth is, you and I are the son, and the father is God. And God loves us. He forgives us this same way. Many of us, we may still stink, right? We may still have some smell left over from last night. We may still have some smell left over from the choices that we made a month ago. But the truth is, the Bible says if you're new in Christ, and by what Jesus did on the cross, God covers your filth, he covers your stench with a robe of righteousness that we can never possibly earn. But it's given to us through grace. That's the truth of God's word. If you are in Christ, you are forgiven. You are royalty, and you are God's child. That's the good news. Paul said it this way in Romans 8, 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, therefore, there is some condemnation, right? He didn't say, therefore, there's occasional condemnation, really, just when you really, really, really mess up, right? That's the sin is weighted, right? There's just some condemnation for the big sins, but there's no condemnation for the little ones. No, he didn't say that. He says, therefore, there's now no condemnation, not an ounce of it, for those in Christ Jesus. So if God doesn't condemn us, why do we condemn ourselves? We are forgiven of our past forever. I think many times we hear this and we say, you know what? It's just, that can't be true, right? I don't feel that because that just seems too good to be true. But the truth is, that's what makes grace, grace. It's something you can't earn. It's something you don't deserve, but it's what's been given to us because it's the greatest gift of all time. It's why Jesus came to earth to live a perfect life. It's why Jesus died on a cross, and it's why he was risen again to give us new life. That's grace, and that's true forgiveness. And our identity isn't defined by anything that we've done. It's defined by what Jesus has already done for each and every one of us, and he's forgiven each and every one of us. We are forgiven from our past. That's a truth that we need to walk away with. That's a truth that we need to move to. We need to move from feeling to the truth that we are forgiven of our past. And then number two, the truth that we need to learn, we need to apply, is that we need to understand that we are healed. Second thing God does that we need to walk away is that God heals us. We are healed from our hurts. Isaiah prophesies about this in Isaiah 53:5, where it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." The fact is, we're healed. That's truth. We don't have to be held back by our past hurts. We don't have to be held captive by our pain that we've experienced. Isaiah goes on and continues this in Isaiah 61:1, and he further explains it when he says this. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners." I think many of us, if not all of us, were carrying scars of choices that we've made, of choices that other people have made against us that have affected us. And these wounds, they go so deep, they hurt so many times that oftentimes we let them paralyze us. And we feel like we'll never be healed from this wound. We feel like we'll never be healed from this brokenness. But the truth is, we've already been healed. Think of it kind of like a broken bone in a body. Anybody ever broken a bone before? I've broken both my wrist, both my right wrist and my left wrist. I broke my left wrist when I was like a little kid. I was on a jungle gym. My dad said, "Hey, jump, I'll catch you." Didn't catch me. Not bitter. That's another wound that I might... He's not here. So I broke my left wrist when I was a little kid, then about 2 years ago, I was on a bicycle and as an adult, and I broke my right wrist. So both stories are pretty interesting. But and you would probably never know that I broke my wrist if I didn't tell you that, right? Because the truth is, both my wrists are actually, they're 100% right now. And if I told you that, if I never told you I broke my wrist, you could never tell, especially my left one. Now, my right one, I actually went and did the surgery portion, so you can see a little bit of a scar there, but the actual inside of the bone is perfect. My left one, though, you would never know. But sometimes, though, I know that I broke my bones, right? In the back of my head, I know, you know what, I've broken my wrist before. So sometimes there's times where, like, I will baby my wrist. Like, I'll go through, I'll come down. If I'm going to land on something or if I'm going to push off of something real fast, I'll kind of baby it and, like, maybe take it to the elbow instead a little bit, which isn't really smart at all. But what's crazy is that I don't need to do that because my wrist have already been healed. And what's crazy is this, is that I was reading about it. It says that if you would go back and look at my wrist through x-rays, that they would see, you could not even tell that the bone was ever broken. In fact, in many times, the bone actually heals stronger than what it was before. And this is what God does with every one of our hurts. If we let him, if we trust him in that, we are actually going to be stronger than what we were before. But so many times we baby those wounds. We think about ourselves, you know, like, I'll never get over this. But Scripture says God binds up the brokenhearted. Scripture says that it's healed. Scripture says that there's no need to baby it. There's no need to worry about it. There's no need to replay it in our mind because it's healed. And here's the truth about it. That thing that you looked at as a setback, it was really going to be used as a set up. Because what God can do with pain is He can take that and use it as just an incredible way to grow us, to build our character. He uses pain in a way that He can't use anything else to accomplish. Now, let me just say this, though. Does God want you to experience pain? Does He want you to experience hurt? Obviously, no, right? But will He use them? You better believe it. The truth is, you're not just going to endure the pain. You're not just going to endure the hurt. You're not just going to survive it. But God's going to use it, and He's going to use what seemed to be a setback as a setup, and He's going to use it to change your life, but He's also going to use it to change the life of others. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." What does God do? In our pain, in our hurts, He heals us, He comforts us, right? He comforts us in our troubles. And why does He do that? He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others, so that we can show that same love of God. He brings this hope into our hopelessness so that we can bring hope into somebody else's hopelessness as well. See, what you're going through may not just be for you. It may be for somebody else that God's going to bring you in along their path later in life. We are called to be a funnel of God's healing. We are called to give away what God's poured into us. It's not just for you. It's for you to give to the person next to you, right? It's for you to give to the person who you came across this week who had an eerily similar story to yours. God heals our brokenness, and He allows us and uses us to help heal others' brokenness as well. That's the truth, and that's more than just a feeling. And then number three, we are freed from our habits. To be new in Christ, we are freed from our habits. I think this is where a lot of us, we kind of get trapped, though. We kind of get trapped in this thing thinking, you know what, like, I'm trapped in these habits. I can't break this. I can't seem to break through this whole feeling of everything that I do. I kind of get stuck in a rut, right? We have this acknowledgement that we believe all these things are true. We say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe He's going to heal my hurt. I believe He's going to forgive me of my sin. But you know what? I can't stop drinking. I believe that He's healed my pains, but you know what? I can't stop looking at those images on the internet. I believe that I'm completely saved and forgiven, but I can't stop going to those pills that I took when I went to a doctor's office and I got hooked on these pain meds, right? I believe that I can all these things, but I just can't stop. I can't stop spending money, right? I can't stop going to and using the debit card, the credit card, and like buying all these things to make me feel better about myself. I can't stop binge eating Oreos, right? Like, that's a serious problem. We believe these things, but then sometimes we just can't stop. But look at what God's word says in Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. It says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Verse 21 says, when you've heard about Jesus, right? Here's the intellectual part. Here's the part where I think many of us can grasp, when we've heard about Jesus. But the truth is, it goes so much further. It moves from intellectual to practical, because in verse 22, it says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. Our old self is actually corrupted by deceitful desires. Our old self is corrupted by these lies that so many times we tend to believe. But that's our old life. Those are our old habits, and they're rooted in nothing but deception. And what we're called to do is we're called to throw it off. Not just manage it, right? Not just get some accountability for it, but get rid of it. Get rid of it with so much ferocity that we could like possibly muster. Get rid of it completely. Yell at it. Move away from it, because the truth is, it's a lie. And when we get rid of it, we're made new in our attitudes. And we put on our new self. So first we throw off the old, and then we're called to put on our new nature, to be created like God, truly righteous and truly holy. The old is based on lies. The old is based on feelings, but the new is based on truth. We're freed from our habits when we believe the truth and move past the lies and move past just the feelings. And John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." We are forgiven from our past. We are healed from our hurts, and we are freed from our habits. The old is gone, the new has come. So put on your new nature. By faith, you're absolutely new. So put on your new nature. By faith, you're forgiven from your past. So put on your new nature. By faith, you're healed from your hurt. So put on your new nature. And by faith, you're freed from your habits. So put on your new nature. And let God's Spirit make you new. And here's the truth, and here's why I think we need to walk away with too, is that you don't do the renewing, but He does. It's all about knowing Him as our Creator and being made new in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 17 says, "From this time on, we do not think of anyone as the world does. In the past, we thought of Christ as the world thinks, but we no longer think of Him in that way. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone, and everything is made new." Not just better, but by His power, new. Being made new is more than just a feeling. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You right now. God, we thank You for today. God, we thank You for speaking to us. We thank you for really the fact that we are made new, and that's truth, and it's more than just a feeling. And I thank You for that truth, and I ask that we can walk in that truth daily. We can walk in that truth in every part of our lives, and we can apply the truth that You speak over us daily. And I pray that You will speak new truth to us daily, because Your mercies are new to us every single morning, God. And I pray that we walk in those mercies, and we pray that we can live those out. God, I pray that we live out the truth that we are forgiven. God, I pray that we no longer listen to the lies that tell us who we are, but we listen to You, God, because You are our Creator and we are forgiven. God, I thank You right now, God, that we are truly healed. And God, I thank You that we are truly freed from our habits. And God, I help us just to help us just to understand that and to know that every moment of every day. God, when the enemy comes in and creeps into our minds and tries to tell us differently, let the truth prevail and let the light overflow the darkness in our lives, God. And God, we ask that for everybody here, for those who are struggling with that right now, God, I pray that You'll just give them just an incredible overflow of who You are in their life and an incredible overflow of truth in their life. God, I pray that over everybody here. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.